You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. And if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Psalms today, chapter 104, verses 1 through 9. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment? Who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain? Who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who maketh the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire? Who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the palace which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
I've got a really special message for you this morning. I think it's one that's going to touch the hearts of everyone that's here and those that hear it. I do think that what we're going to cover today and what we've looked at here in Psalms as our Bible reading in Psalms chapter 104, I do think that you'll find that it has a critical message, but it has an uplifting message. I think it'll be challenging, but I think it'll be encouraging is what I mean. And I think we all need to be challenged. I think it's a shame when we're not challenged as Christians, and I'm going to get into that in just a minute. Let's join our hearts and minds in prayer as we study God's Word. Father, we do thank you as you bless us this morning. We do thank you for leaving the Word. We thank you that it tells us a story of our Savior, and it gives us a story of you and has revealed to us the many things that you've asked us to know. And we pray that we're good students of it, as 2 Timothy 2:15 challenges us, that we might find approval in your sight. So, Father, at this moment, we do ask that you hedge us about, that you might give us a blessing through the study of your word, that we might give our full attention to it, not be distracted, so that the word might fall among good ground. We thank you as you attend to that, meet each need in Christ Jesus' name, and whose forsake we pray this in. Amen. Okay, we started a couple of weeks ago a study in Psalms with the chapters that we are going to look at, if you remember, are chapters 104, 105, and 106. These are historical in nature. It goes all the way back to the beginning and takes us all the way to the end of the history of Israel. I think it's going to be fascinating for us to study it and to look at it. I think that probably the greatest need that we have as Christians, the greatest need that we have is to know our Bible. 30 years. Now think about it. Paul, who wrote over half the books of the New Testament, 30 years after he was struck down on the road to Damascus and became a Christian. How many of you have been a Christian over 30 years? Okay. We haven't arrived. We haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, in our understanding of what God has to share with us. If the Apostle Paul, who wrote over half the New Testament books, who was inspired by God, after 30 years, he writes in Philippians that I may get to know him. I mean, who knows him better than Paul? Who knows him better? That is the kind of attitude that we need to have day in and day out to get to know not only our Savior, but the Creator of everything that's around us. The God of the universe, the God of everything that is, the living God, who has loved us, who has redeemed us, who has called us with a heavenly calling far above. There are so many things in this book that challenge us to relish in the fact that God knows us. We need to get to know Him. And what else can we do except get to know Him by studying the Word? Well, we can take the things that we've studied, we can apply them in our life after we've come to understand them, and we can then exhort one another to walk in that way. If you don't know, you ain't going to grow. So in order to grow, we got to know. That's why Paul said, that I may get to know Him. That I may get to know Him. Who could have known Him better? We're not going to be able to know everything. God hasn't taught us everything. Now, I know sometimes we look at that and we begin to think, well, there's no way to know everything there is to know about God. In fact, God even said that in Deuteronomy 29:29. He says, there's some secret things I haven't exposed to you. I haven't given to you. I haven't told you about. One of the secret things He did tell us about through the pen of Paul. And that is the mystery. And the fellowship of the mystery. I dare you to go this week and you ask somebody, what do you know about this verse right here? Ephesians 3:9. The fellowship of the mystery. What do you know about that? Ask one of your Christian friends. What do you know? Talk to me about what you understand the fellowship of the mystery to be. And what is it that Paul says about the fellowship of the mystery? That we may make all see. What is that fellowship? That's our calling today. That's what God has commissioned us to do. That's what our challenge is. Now, if you look at Psalms chapter 104, there's something in the beginning, and we covered this the last time, that requires us to get fired up. Notice the first phrase, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. We've got to be stirred up. David had to be stirred up. Now, the psalmist that writes this is not, we're not told it's David. The Septuagint tells us it's David, that David wrote this, so we'll just assume that David wrote it. But even David, King David, had to get his soul stirred up. He had to get fired up to want to praise God, to glorify God, to enjoy God. You got to get your soul stirred up. And there's no better way to do that than to study this book. Let me give you an example. Okay, turn over to Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke 24. Do you remember after our Lord was crucified and He rose again the third day, and the women went out to the tomb and found it empty, and they went back and they told all the apostles what had happened. And two of them left, and they went on this road to Emmaus. You remember that story? This road to Emmaus. These two disciples are walking, and you know who joined them? If you know the story, it was Jesus. Jesus, the risen Savior. He joins them on this road, and He begins to talk to them, after He perceives that they're really not paying attention to what's going on, which is in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do you believe all that the prophets have spoken? Do you believe in your heart of hearts that this book is the Word of God? Do you believe that the God of the universe wrote this so that you might get to know Him? Or are you one of these, O foolish one, slow of heart to believe? And notice after He spent some time with them and He broke bread with them and He left in verse 31, it says that their eyes were opened. Spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Spending time will open your eyes. And notice it says, and they recognized Him and He vanished out of their sight. And in verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our heart burn? They said to one another. Okay? It's like I'm looking at you and I said, oh man, my heart was just fired up when He was here. And you looked at me and you said, oh man, my heart's fired up too. Did not our hearts burn within us? See, what does that mean? What does that say to you? You got to get stirred up, because you will get stirred up when you come to the Lord. When you come to this book, when you study this book, when you hear what He has to say, you'll get stirred up. And so you will come on back to the psalmist. You will say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art very great. Now, the last time we were together, and this is lesson one on this, which I call in the beginning, but Mike says from the beginning. But it will also cover things that are before the beginning. But we'll get to those. We'll get to those because it's very critical for us. Thou art very great. God is very great. Last time we were together, we began to look at Colossians. We studied Colossians chapter 1 to kind of stir us up. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. Josh has got his new Bible there, and he's got it open, and he's looking at it. You all open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And one of the things we talked about that stirs us up is memories. Memories of what God has done for us. Paul gives this prayer that we might grow, because you never reach it. You never get completed in that understanding. In fact, Peter even talked about that we all might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be growing. I don't know if you know all that's involved in growing, but growing is a complex process in even the simplest forms of life. You know, plants have this photosynthetic process that goes on between the chloroform or chlorophyll that's in the plant leaves and the sunshine and the giving of and taking of carbon dioxide and giving off oxygen and things like that. And I don't know it very well. I'm not a botanist, but I know it's kind of complex. It's even more complex when you get to the animals. But when you come to humans, growing doesn't just involve bones getting bigger, your heart getting bigger, and your feet getting bigger, and you getting taller and things like that. It involves growing mentally, emotionally, in your soul and in your spirit. Paul says we are body, soul, and spirit. And we've got to grow in all those areas in order to be complete people. Or as Mac used to say, full-orbed. So we touch every part of life. Growing is so critical and so important to us. If you're there in Colossians, one of the things that I have found encouraging as I grow in the Word of God is to look at things more than once. Look at them two times. Look at them three times. Champ tells me that when he does the Bible lessons after he's heard them, the second time he does them in order to compile them and put them on the internet so that people all over, not just Oklahoma City, but all over the world can hear the Word rightly divided. He says he learned so much more the second time he hears it. So we need to study this, not the first time and then let it go and go, okay, that's cool, I got it, and then move on. We need to spend time in on. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Notice what it says about our Savior, Jesus Christ, in verse 15 of Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God. God's invisible. Yes, He is. Who was Christ? He was the image of God. If you want to know what God looks like, He looks like Jesus. You never know the full essence of who He is. And we're going to see that as we study Psalms 104. But this kind of fires you up. This is the kind of thing that should fire you up, that Jesus was the image of the invisible God. He was the firstborn of all creation. And by Him were all things, I'm in verse 16 now, by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they're thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. I think that's just fantastic. He did that. Do you know why He did it? Because He's worthy of doing it. Do you know that's one thing that God wants you to realize so that you're stirred up when you come to Him? You don't come to Him with a full bucket, knowing everything that there is to know. He wants you to come with an empty bucket. And let me tell you something. You've got to guard yourself. You've got to be aware of the fact of... I'll tell you two things you've got to guard yourself about. Number one's the devil. You have an enemy. He doesn't want you to know. If you don't know God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He doesn't want you to ever come to that point in your life. But if you know God, what He wants to do is when the Word of God comes in your heart, He wants to snatch it. He'll fly right down on that old seaside and snatch that seed up that's trying to get sown into your heart, and He'll steal it away from you. He doesn't want you to know God, because once you start to know God, it's unboundless. Is that the right word? It's unboundless what God can do through you. And He is worthy of you giving yourself to Him to do things. Turn to Revelation. I want you to see this in Revelation chapter 4. How worthy He is. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You have been created for the pleasure of God. I mean, if that doesn't start stirring your soul up, that God cares so much about you, no matter who you are and where you are, no matter what circumstances you're in. I don't care if you're going through alcoholism or if you're going through a divorce or if you're going through some physical pain, some physical ailment. God didn't just let that happen to you. He doesn't not know that you're going through some kind of difficulty in life. He is challenging you to rise above the human level of life and become like His Son. Yeah. That's what He's created us to become. He wants us to become like His Son. We'll look at that too in just a minute. And He has a purpose for it. He has a specific purpose for it. I don't know what it is. But as I go through life, I can look back and I can see certain things in my life. Can you not see them in your life? That God sent into your life so that you may get to know Him and know Him a little better. It's not something grand all the time. In fact, most of the time, it's not something grand. Sometimes it's something a little less than grand, but it's still something God is doing. And we need to quit looking at a glass that's half full and calling it half empty. We need not to look at roses and complain that they've got thorns. We ought to look at thorns and rejoice that they've got roses. God wants us to give Him what is due Him. He created us for His pleasure, whatever aspect of life that is. You may be going through some kind of difficulty. God's got His eye on you just like He has an eye on the sparrow. And He wants to lift you up above that. He wants you to glorify Him. You were created to glorify Him. Look at that, verse 11 again. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. I'm just going to stop for a minute, and I'm going to talk just for a brief moment about glory. You know what glory is, Jacob? Glory is kind of a hard word to understand. Some places in Scripture it talks about a location. You know, in Colossians chapter 3, we will be seen with Him in glory. That's kind of like a location. Then it talks about the glory of the Lord. That's kind of like the presence, the where He is, being with Him. Glory is kind of a hard word, but in Jeremiah, the prophet tells us that the wise man should not glory in his wisdom, nor should the strong man glory in his strength, nor should the rich man glory in his riches. That's not what we're supposed to glory in, no. If you want to glory, it goes on to say, you glory in this, that you know and you understand that I am a God who delights in love and judgment and righteousness. That's what God's all about. And when you get your focus on that, He is so much more than just God. Now, from a human point of view, that's when we talk about God, we kind of bring Him down to our level. We need to get up there on His level. We need to realize that His Son was sent because He loved us so much, and His Son gave His life so that we wouldn't have to face the punishment of sin. His Son knew no sin, but He became sin for you and for me. Why? So that we might have the righteousness of God. You got to get stirred up when you're starting to come to this Word. And I don't mean you go off half crazy like Josh was when he was that little 2.5, 3-year-old and Jacob was born and he was in the back seat of Nonnie's car and he was in that little baby seat and he was just sitting there going, Nonnie said, Josh, what's the matter with you? Have you lost your brains? He was acting like he'd lost his brains. No, we don't go off like that. Just like David. Bless the Lord, O my soul. God didn't create you so that you could stay a baby your whole life. God didn't create an eaglet. You know what an eaglet is? That's a baby eagle. So that baby eagle could be an eagle, or a baby eagle its whole life. He created that baby eagle to grow into what? A great big eagle. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to grow up in the grace and the knowledge of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us to know so that we can grow. You've got an enemy, the devil. He's going to challenge you wherever he can. And it's not that he's going to come in here and he's going to beat you up in a way that, you know, people fight on TV and WWF, or they battle out there on the football field, or they get in the basketball game and they elbow, or the hockey game and they power check someone into the wall. He's much more subtle than that. He's crafty. He is so crafty. But, you know, if you know, let me give you an example of how crafty he is. You remember David and Goliath? Everybody remembers David and Goliath. Goliath, big tall guy, David, little guy. And David came in and Saul said, "Look, David, here's my armor. I want you to put on my helmet, my shield, get my sword, put on my boots, and you go off and you fight him. Here's my armor." David had no clue what that armor was all about. He was a shepherd boy. But he knew something. He knew something about a sling because God taught him. He gave him some kind of desire to want to know. David didn't sit there and just get the handbook and put it over to the side. He stood there and he redeemed the time. He would sling those stones. And he knew exactly which stones were the best stones. He knew exactly what stone to go pick out of the riverbed when he went to fight Goliath. And he took his slingshot. He left that armor there. That was Satan's ploy. The things that God teaches you, God will use in your life. He will build that into your life as you begin to walk with Him. You begin to meditate. Don't remember in Psalms, you don't want to walk in the way of the sinners. You don't want to stand in the way. You don't want to sit in the way. You don't want to have anything to do with those people. You want to walk with Him. That's how David conquered Goliath. And it wasn't anything that David did. David even realized, hey, it's the Lord that did it. I'm not going to take any credit. That's why he can write in Psalms 104. Come on back to Psalms 104. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." David couldn't take any credit in anything that he had done. It's the Lord that's done it. In every challenge of life, every opportunity you have, it's a glass that's half full. It's thorns that have roses. It's a loving God who created you for His pleasure so that you can realize that He's worthy of glory and honor and power. Now, those other two are really challenging, honor and power. But we're not going to cover those today. In fact, I think I've got about 10 minutes. I think we're good. Okay, just a little more time. Let's cover some of these verses here chapter 104. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." That's what He wears. He wears honor and majesty. Just like kings wear robes and kingly garb, and princes and queens wear this stuff that kind of manifests who they are, God wears honor and majesty. That's what He puts on, and He has to wear that because God's invisible. Remember, we read that. God's invisible. Timothy talks about it. See, this is what's so good about this book. Timothy talks a little bit about the invisibleness of God. Let's go over there and look real quick. 1 Timothy. We're going to come back to Psalms real quick. But 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 14, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "Timothy, keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in His time He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords." Who is the blessed and only potentate? Verse 15, "who only has immortality, dwelling in light, in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, no, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." That's the invisible God. He's in light. He's clothed Himself. Come on back to 104. "In this honor and this majesty." And look at verse 2. "Who covers Himself with light as if it were a garment." Who covers Himself with light as with it were a garment. You know what that light is? That's that Shekinah glory. Shekinah is a word that means like He who dwells is dwelling Himself here. It's never used in Scripture. It's a lot like the word Trinity, okay? We never see the word Trinity, but we know there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The Shekinah glory is the glory. It's the light of God. And this is, if you were to peel back that light, it's unbelievable what His essence is. But we could never know that. No man has ever seen Him. No man will ever see Him. No man will ever know the essence of God. Not here, not there. He's clothed Himself in light. That's an amazing thing. I get stirred up when I start thinking about that. I get so fired up that He loves me, that He gave His Son for me, that He took my sins away. And even though I trip and fall and I stumble and make mistakes, and even though you do too, God's forgiven me. God's forgiven you. We can get on down the road. Now, if you don't want to get exercised by it, I think I'm going to stay away from you. Because if you don't realize that that's a problem and you've got problems in your life, then, you know, I'm going to have to wait until you wise up and you wake up. You need to do that in my life, too. I'm not going to ask Sherry to come up here and tell you about a couple of them, but I'm sure she probably's got a couple at her fingertips that she could point out that it just took a little while for Him to just wake up. God wants us to wake up in our walk with Him. He wants us to be alive and awake and alert. He wants us to realize that we do have an enemy. He wants us to realize that we need to know to grow. He doesn't want our ground. He doesn't want where the seed's being sown to be by the wayside where the devil can snatch it. He doesn't want it to be on the stony ground where it can't grow deep and be useful. He doesn't want it to grow in the cares of this world so that when God wants to use us that we get choked out. He wants it to grow on good ground. And we need to get stirred up. We need to know this book. Now, before I go any farther in reading, because we're getting into the creation period here in Psalms 104, I want to make sure that you know, and I'm sure you do, but let's go back and let's look at creation, the recreation of the earth. Genesis chapter 1. There's a couple of things we're going to look at. We're just going to read it real quick, and then we're going to come back to Psalms 104. In Genesis chapter 1, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And there was some cataclysmic event. The earth became without form and void. God didn't create the earth that way. We learned that in Isaiah. And this isn't a lesson on that. But God created, and if you have a study Bible, you'll see that God created the earth to be inhabited. He didn't create it without form and void. It became form and void, which means when He created the heavens and the earth, He created them perfect. Everything He creates is perfect. He didn't create anything with a flaw in it. What about man? He created man. Didn't He create man in the image of God? Well, we're in the image of Adam. He created Adam in the image of God, but that was a physical image. Adam fell. Sin came into his life. We're part of that fallen nature. It has nothing to do with God. God's got an enemy. Yeah, He does. And this book talks about it. You know how many times that enemy tried to destroy the seed of the woman so that the line of God and the purpose of God could not be accomplished? Well, he starts with Cain killed Abel. He goes on. Every last week when we stayed Mother's Day, we saw that Moses' mother put him in an ark and saved him because Pharaoh was going to kill all those that were born. They had to be put into the river and killed. And then when Jesus was born, Herod went all the way back 2 years and said every baby born in 2 years has to die. That's the devil. God's got an enemy. You've got an enemy. You have a common enemy. You need to know who that sinister minister is. He's real. He's not coming at you in some kind of red garb with a pitchfork and got a tail and horns on his head. He's going to come at you with a lure, like a fishing lure that looks so real and so good. And you think, well, this ought to be that. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And then when you bite it, boom, he hooks you and you're taken up and somebody fillets you and you get eaten that night. It's real. It's real. Every one of us knows that. Everybody knows someone who's been through some kind of situation in life. And if you don't, read this book. Even David went through something like that. David, think of what happened. Think of what he did. God loved him. God forgave him. God taught him. David received that knowledge, and he knew so he could grow. Nope. He knows so he can grow. I like that. He knew so he grew. God wants you to do that. Okay, God then, after this destruction that took place in verse 2 of chapter 1, the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now remember, darkness was upon the face of the deep. What are these things? What is he talking about? What is this darkness? Well, I kind of understand that, but what's the deep? Now, what's this? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Where'd the waters come from? This is fascinating stuff. God said, let there be light. Do you believe in the creation? Do you believe in the recreation? We're looking at the recreation. Or do you believe in evolution? See, evolution is one of those slight little things that's just permeated our society today. It's a diabolical deceit from the devil. And it's got no legs to stand on. In fact, most scientists are fleeing from it today, just like cockroaches flee from the light. Maybe that's a bad analogy because, you know, that's kind of mixing metaphors and I shouldn't do that. Doesn't make sense. But it's the same kind of idea. They realize that there's no continuity in it. The fossil records don't hold up under evolutionary study. The fossil records from generation to generation don't hold up. The second law of thermodynamics disproves it. Yeah. There's so many other proofs or disproofs of evolution. It's amazing. One man even said that someday in history, they're going to look back and say this was the biggest joke perpetrated on mankind unless we pass the cap and trade bill. And then that could be the biggest joke on mankind. Carbon credits. Carbon credits. Well, I won't go into that. My mind's starting to get into the politics of that. Do you believe God created the heavens and the earth? Look in verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. There had to be light, there was darkness. And God is light, so he said, let there be light. God created the light. This is a Shekinah glory. This is the light that God has wrapped himself in. Verse 4, God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day. And the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Here's day 2. What happened on day 2? This is fascinating stuff. I'm serious. If you stop and use what cognitive skills, you have cognitive skills? Sure you do. Now, I don't really demonstrate that when I have to put some toy together because I take the book, the instruction book. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. You guys understand. You put it to the side. I can put this together. A goes to B and B goes to C and C goes to D. It's real easy. Where's B? Where's B? How do I get B and A together? Something's wrong here. Read the book. That's what he's talking about. Read the book. Your cognitive skills now. Day 2, verse 6. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water. Where'd the waters come? Remember the waters were there? And God's Spirit moved upon the waters? Where did those come from? This is amazing. Just to ask these questions. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament, and it was so. What? So what? Okay, so we got waters. We got waters. Everybody look here a minute. We got waters. And then all of a sudden, right in the midst of the waters, God creates a firmament. What's a firmament? I don't know. It's some kind of expanse. It could be earth. I'm not really sure. We're going to find out a little bit more. But there's waters above, there's a firmament, there's waters below. This is amazing. What is this talking about? It's how God did it. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Okay, so now I know that the firmament is called heaven. But there's waters above heaven. Right? Yeah, that's what it is. And there's waters below. Okay, that's the second day. What's the third day? Verse 9, God said, let the waters under heaven. Let's see, now wait a minute. Let's see, that'd be in my order. 1, 2, 3. The waters down here, under the firmament. Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Okay, so under the heavens, the firmament, God says, let the waters be drawn together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And he called the dry land earth. Verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so, and the earth brought forth vegetables and herbs, yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening and morning were the third day. We're going to stop right there on the third day, come back to Psalms 104. That's just amazing stuff. Do you believe it? Or do you believe the other stuff? Do you believe the diabolical deceit that the devil's given? Evolution. I see, that's a choice. Let me tell you something. Success and failure are too important to be left to random chance. Success and failure, it's too important to be left to random chance. It is always determined by choices. You two know, I've told you from get-go. Everybody else should know this too. You want to live a good life? Make good choices. You want to live a bad life? Make bad choices. Success and failure. You're on the team. You're on the team if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, success and failure is not just something that randomly happens, okay? The coach says, I want you to go out and pick up the tee after the guy kicks the ball off the tee. That's my job. I'd rather be kicking the ball. Well, he's kicking the ball because he has applied himself day after day, time after time, kicking the ball, and he has demonstrated that he can kick the ball. But you're going to get the tee. Okay, I'm getting the tee. That's my job. What do? Do you kind of walk out there and hope nobody notices you, and you just kind of lean down, kind of inconspicuously grab it, and then you just kind of walk back, you know? No, you run out there as hard as you can, and you get that tee, and you run back to the sidelines. That's the job God gave you. That gives glory to the coach. That's my tee getter. That's what the coach says. That's my tee getter. See, one of these days, you're going to go be with him. One of these days, I didn't get very far, I'm going to quit. One of these days, you're going to be with the Lord. And what is the first thing you want to hear? What do you want to hear when you get back to the sideline? What do you want the coach to say? Good job. Well done. One of these days, you're going to get there. And I don't care what it is in your life that you're going through. God's not ignorant of it. He knows where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows how challenging it is. He lived here in the flesh. He was tempted in every way, Hebrews tells us, as you're tempted into what you're doing. But you need to be the best tee getter that the coach has got on the team, because if you're not, he's going to put you on the bench. You want to be put on the bench? Is that where you want to be? No, not exactly. No, I don't either. Because I want him to say to me, good job. Well done. See, that's what David's talking about when he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul needs to get stirred up about this. This is a serious matter. This is for real. And it doesn't matter if you're 7 or if you're 70. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. It doesn't matter what you are. When you're in the army of God, He wants you to be aware that you need to know to grow. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for how much You love us, how much You care about us. We're so grateful that the Word is here, we can follow it, that You've given it to us, and You encourage us to study to show ourselves approved unto You, workmen who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And there's so many times we don't. So many times we shy away. We don't meditate on Your Word. We don't listen to it on the radio. We don't read it in the book. We don't let someone else talk about it. We don't encourage people. Tell me the old story. Oh, Lord, we do want to honor You. You're worthy of it. You're so worthy of it. And even our very best falls so short of giving You the glory and the honor and the power. But You've created us for that. We want You to be blessed by our lives. We want our lives to reflect that of the One who loved us and gave His life, Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to reflect Him even as the moon reflects the light of the sun, which is even Your life. Help us as we do that, as we yield ourselves to you, help us, encourage us. But Father, we have that responsibility. We've got to run out and get the tea. We want to be the best tea getter you've got. May it be so. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.